global story now, a war between the North and the South. Not in the way you might think. The war between the states in the 21st century involves some very old battles between rich industrial nations of the North and poor countries associated with the Southern Hemisphere. United Nations-sponsored climate talks in Warsaw have divided along lines that may recall Cold War-era battles between developed and developing nations. Representatives from some of the world's poorest countries staged a walkout after it became clear that the U.S., the EU, Australia, and other developed nations were not going to discuss payment for extreme environmental damage, such as the aftermath of the recent typhoon in the Philippines. Isaac Valero is the European Union spokesman for climate action. Isaac, welcome to the program.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Is this a good guy, bad guy kind of dispute that's going on between the North and the South?
No, it is definitely not, and it shouldn't be portrayed that way. Of course, there are issues between developed and developing countries. We're sitting around the table to try to seal a deal to reduce emissions, to reduce carbon emissions of producing human-induced climate change, but it's definitely not that. There are positive forces within in both camps, if you like. There, for example, South Africa and developing countries helping a lot. There is the EU. There is the small island states in the developing countries. So it is not like a developing as it's being portrayed at all.
But shouldn't this issue of compensation be on the table on some level?
Well, it is on the table. We're still discussing the different modalities and how can we just get an agreement here. The most important thing, and this is a red line for both the European Union and the U.S., is that we can't just ask for compensation for any extreme weather event occurring in the world. First of all, because, yes, scientists have been able to predict that the intensity and the frequency of extreme weather events will be increased due to climate change, but no one at this stage can point to, for example, if the recent typhoon in the Philippines was due to climate change. So it is important that developing countries get the climate finance to adapt to the severe impacts of climate change. But we also have to be careful not to get dragged into an ideological debate on who is paying for what, for historical compensation, etc.
Where is this likely to go? You mentioned modalities before, and I'm wondering if you'll be candid enough with me to engage in a bit of a hypothetical discussion. I mean, are we talking about a solution here that would involve some sort of huge endowment to deal with climate change kinds of issues that everyone would contribute to and would maybe mostly go to poor nations? Or are we talking about a climate court that would actually adjudicate compensation issues? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I'm afraid that I won't be very hypothetical here because there are ongoing negotiations at the moment as we talk. But for the moment, there are two parts here. There are some developing countries who are asking for this, and they should put on the table how they feel this should be addressed through a new institution, through a new mechanism, through a group, through a court. How can we feel that we can address this problem? The EU believes that we have enough institutions. We don't need a new institution dealing with this. What it matters at the end of the day is that the money flows to the developing countries so that they can adapt to climate change, and we don't need new institutions for that.
But what about an endowment of some kind, a fund that essentially would be put to this purpose?
As I said, an endowment or a fund, what is important is that money flows. We'll need to see how can we get this money going there. This is being under discussions for the moment. You, for example, mentioned a court. I don't see this happening at all.
All right. So the takeaway here is the EU is opposed to a new court and possibly even opposed to a kind of international climate monetary fund kind of institution as well. No new institutions. Yeah. Do it with what we have.
I mean, it is just a speculation. I mean, it's not that we are opposing on the different ideas. What I said is that I don't see a court happening. I don't see the concept materializing. I don't see any sort of like idea solid enough to be addressed at a high level. What I'm saying is that it is important, and we have to understand that developing countries are already affected by climate change. So they're going through the severe impacts of climate change. We also have to understand that they're very sensitive and also they're frustrated with this slow pace of negotiations, and sometimes because the money they feel is not coming as fast as they should. But what we also have to understand, as I said before, is that it is important for them and for us to understand that we can't just compensate for any extreme weather event. It is simply feasible.
All right, Isaac Valero, I pushed, you pushed back. Thanks for your candor.
All right, thank you so much.
Isaac Valero is the EU spokesman for climate action, speaking to us from the climate talks in Warsaw, Poland.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.